Moika.
Hey,
welcome to our podcast, Mastering Finland.
I'm Jean and I'm from California.
I'm Petra and I'm from the Czech Republic.
We're here to chat about our life in Finland.
Hi, welcome back to Matti's story. We'll continue what we started last week, and in case you missed the previous episode number 35, give it a listen. Now let's get to the actual story, and I hope you'll enjoy. So let's get to this, you know, sort of bigger topic. You wrote a book.
I did. I wrote a book about my time in the army. I'm trying to get it published right now. And it pretty much kind of goes. So one of the problems I had was I'd done a lot of research before I came into the army. I had like looked up everything I possibly could. I was trying to learn Finnish online. I was trying to see if there were other stories, trying to see if there were other opportunities. And I found like different threads on Reddit. I found different things here and there, just like kind of scatterings across the internet. But I never found kind of like, well, not really like a guidebook, I want to say, but I never found like someone's like full experience. I didn't really get a comprehensive kind of story about what someone's experience in the army was like. So when I came back, I was in the US for the summer for about 2 months. I bought the tickets before COVID, and it was a nightmare getting back over. And then I was able to finally get tickets to come back to Finland. And when I was back in Finland, I was in 2 weeks of quarantine after getting tested at the airport. I came up negative. I was in 2 weeks of quarantine. And during the 2 weeks, I was like, I'm going to write this book. I've had this in my idea. Like I was journaling a bit in the army. I was recording a lot of my thoughts, a lot of what I experienced. I'm going to go through this. So 2 weeks turned into 4 weeks, turned into 6 weeks. And I ended up like a month and a half locked away in my apartment, barely eating any food, just kind of slaving away at my laptop, typing up my experiences, typing up what it was like to be in the army, what some of my challenges were, what some of my successes were, things that I thought I could have improved, things that I was like still a little bit hung up on, a lot of like the like what people could expect, I guess, based off of my experiences. And I kind of wanted to write it for the next foreigner who comes to Finland and joins the army and goes in the army, does their military service. Just like as an example, maybe not like a, oh, this is how your military service will be or this is how it's going to look.
Yeah, it makes sense.
But just to provide them like a story that they can, you know, at least like kind of relate to or like understand like, oh, I'm not the first person who's doing this. There's other people who have done this as well.
That's amazing. And it's amazing that you just wrote it.
I have to say, it sounds extremely amazing, but if you saw me like hunched over my laptop, or just heard me like tapping away at my like keys and like barely eating any food, barely leaving the apartment, it's not as amazing as it sounds. It's actually, it looks very pathetic in real life, but I appreciate the praise.
Yeah. So you are planning to publish it. And so have you contacted anybody yet, or what's the plan?
So I've contacted a few publishers, both in the US and in Finland. I believe I'll have more success with Finnish publishers, even though it's a book in English, it's still a topic that's really kind of related to Finnish identity and something that's really about Finland. I don't think it's something that a publishing house in New York would really voice at. But
you never know.
I've been sending manuscripts out to them as well. But for the most part, I've found a few publishers in Finland, mostly based in Helsinki, and I've kind of contacted them. They take about 3 to 6 months to respond. But I'm looking around too for other avenues to possibly publish. But I would prefer to work with a reputable, built-up publisher before I move on to self-publishing. I believe.
Yeah, makes sense. But yeah, if there is any you know, anybody who knows any publisher or you are a publisher, let us know if you're interested and we will connect you.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd be more than happy to talk with you if you have any questions, concerns. I look forward to anything you'd have to add or consider.
Yeah, that's great.
I should mention the working title for my book
is
347 Mornings.
That's great. That's a great
name. I have a subtitle too, which I sometimes add it and sometimes don't. As like an ode to conscription, because that's kind of what it is too. I think that like the military service in Finland is at this point, like, so there's a, I kind of feel like I need to explain this too, is the reason Finland has military service is because there's like a national policy of deterrence, of neutrality by deterrence, I should say. Mm-hmm. Finland's not a NATO member. They are a NATO partner, though. So it means they don't fall under the Article 5 Collective Defense Treaty. So if, let's say, a neighbor to the east were to hop across the border, and this is a funny thing, too. In the Finnish military, they never use any actual country's name. They just say the Yellow Republic.
Neighbor. Oh, that's so great.
It is very, and like every exercise, Valtasen, what is, Keltasen Valta. Yeah. It's like the Yellow Republic has invaded, or like the Yellow Republic has taken over this building. And you have to just assume what the Yellow Republic could possibly be. But
that's great.
So the whole entire basis of Finnish international diplomacy and relations since the end of World War II has been, and it's become a term in international relations as well, is Finlandization. So Finland's kind of neutral, was neutral in the Cold War, but still kind of cozied up to the Soviet Union in some ways, but was still able to maintain independence. There was still a lot of KGB activity. There was some minor censorship within Finnish society too, by the KGB and by other Soviet agencies. I might need to double check exactly what organizations and what the exact censorship was, but it was certain movies that were usually Hollywood movies that portrayed communism and the Soviet Union in a negative light. It wasn't anything very drastic or dire. It wasn't something that was like overwhelming in the country.
It was probably not like in the Czech Republic where we had everything
exactly
forbidden.
Yeah, it was nothing like the Czech Republic or Czechoslovakia or...
Yeah, Czechoslovakia then, yeah, exactly.
But one of the reasons that Finland maintains a conscription force on paper is because they want to look unappealing to the Soviet Union, to modern day Russian Federation.
Yeah, makes sense.
It makes sense for Finland for us to train most of the men in the country. I think about like 70% end up doing their military service. I believe based off the last statistics. I probably should have written these things down before I said them. But
it's okay. Don't worry.
People can fact check me if they feel like there's great discrepancy.
Yeah, yeah.
But the idea is that it's an unappealing target for the Russians or potentially the Swedes. On paper, it's just neutrality. It could be any foreign aggressor or invader for Finland to maintain independence. That's kind of the idea, especially with what's happened in Ukraine in 2014 and a lot of these like Russian kind of moves. A lot of Finns and a lot of people in like the Finnish high brass are a little bit more alert and they're a little bit more nervous about possible Russian interference, hybrid warfare. But yeah, so that's like on paper why Finland still has such a large reserves, which is what I'm currently in now. That's what the conscription, that's what the military service trains you for, is for a role in the reserves. Hopefully you're never called back up for any actual duty. There are refresher exercises, usually every 5, 10, 15 years. And by the time you're 60, you're out of the reserves for good. But yeah, so Finland has about 5.5 million people, and its reserve forces could be potentially up to 1 million people if need be.
So yeah, pretty good.
It's pretty good, and it kind of makes sense and it kind of works. But I don't really think the main benefit, I think that's the main benefit on paper. But I think the real benefit that is seen today is more societal. It's something that brings people together from all walks of life in Finland. And it's kind of it's become, in a way, almost a base Finnishness, is if you've done your military service.
Yeah, that's true.
So
I would definitely agree with that.
Like for someone like me, this was kind of a way for me to, whether or not it's true or not, it made me feel like I was actually Finnish. And it made me feel like I've maybe, I don't want to say the word earned Finnish citizenship, but that I've done my part in a way.
Yeah.
And especially in the Helsinki capital region, there are so many immigrants, children of immigrants. There was even a refugee who served under me from Kurdistan. And you get to meet these people and work with these people too that you wouldn't normally work with, and like from like all different backgrounds. And it kind of becomes like a great equalizer too, because you're all in it together. Even if you have different ranks, even if you have different X, Y, or Z, you know, if you have different skin color, different religion, at the very least, you have sympathy for the people you're serving with. Even if you still harbor some other beliefs about them, you still kind of have seen them as people. And I think it's kind of important for Finland as it moves forward.
Yeah, definitely. And especially, as you said, nowadays there's more and more foreigners even like moving to Finland. So if we can, you know, build and equip the youth with this sort of superpower of seeing this equality and actually this, you know, skin color and XYZ, as you said, is not anything different. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. We are people. We share the same things.
Absolutely.
Then it equips them with like a superpower, extra thing that, you know, their ancestors didn't have.
And not that it's like perfect too in the army. There are still some like cases where people are, you know, prejudiced or they say things. Mm-hmm. But like, at its very core, it makes you meet people you wouldn't normally come in contact with. And
yeah,
depending on how people react to that, that's their own choice. That's, you know, there are, I'm not going to say it's a perfect system too, because that would be kind of a lie. Mm-hmm. There were issues, of course, but I think the overall experience was positive in that regard.
Yeah, that's really good. Yeah. So what are you up to now?
So
after the army, like now you're in Finland, right? So what have you been up to?
Right. So I wrote the book and I've been biking for Wolt. So I currently am working as a sales representative too for a Finnish-based startup called Ozonium. And we mm-hmm. offer ozone-based solutions, both in the water, for water treatment, which can be used to replace a lot of sanitizing chemicals for both cleaning and for drinking water as well. And then for air-based disinfectors too. I've been working mm-hmm. for this company, kind of helping them get it kickstarted in Finland and to see if it's to see what we can kind of do here. It's like extremely environmentally safe and environmentally friendly too, because it can like reduce our use of a lot of these like a lot of detergents and soaps that are used a lot of the time. And ozone is extremely safe. It's an oxidizing compound that we use. So the way is when it comes in contact with the air, when it comes in contact with an impurity, like mm-hmm. a pathogen, virus, this is the air-based one and the water-based one too. When it comes in contact with pathogens, virus, dust particles, dirt, even odors, it's able to eliminate them and then it just turns into oxygen. It turns from O3 to O2. I don't need to get too technical about it right now.
But it sounds good.
It is good, yeah. And I'm pretty excited. It's a new startup, but it seems to be proven in other countries, and we're trying to get it started here in Finland. And exciting. It's fun to be on the ground floor of something that could potentially be very big. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm, definitely. Good luck with that.
Thank you, yeah.
There is also one more thing that you are doing, right? This course around Kalli?
So I did not mention that, but I have been doing this, and it's a little bit less because there's not as many tourists. Before I was in the army, and while I was in the army on the weekends, I would give tours around the Kallio. I live in Södermanland, which we could debate whether or not it's Kallio or not.
Yeah,
I live in Kurvi, which is I think it's.
I mean, that's basically Kallio.
Basically Kallio, right? Like, come on. But like, I give this tour because on Airbnb, I call it Helsinki's Brooklyn, a tour through Kallio. And I walk around, I talk about Finnish history, talk a little bit about myself, my experience, what I'm doing in Finland. You know, someone described it to me as I'm just kind of going on a first date with tourists. And I just kind of walk around like the entire like neighborhood of Kallio, talk about, you know, my story. A little bit about Finnish history. And yeah, when there were tourists, it was getting to be kind of a hit. But there's not a lot of tourists. If you're interested at all in booking the tour, I'll post some dates up.
Yeah, we can share the link in the description for sure.
Yeah, it's just a fun thing for me to do too, especially when it's dark. If you're looking for something to pass the time, why not?
Yeah, eventually I hope that all this is going to get back to normal and there will be more tourists and
I hope so,
more chances for you to do that as well.
I hope so too, because I love talking about Finland and telling people about, you know, Finnish history, Kallio too, because it's a unique neighborhood, and it's a unique neighborhood that's very close to the city center. That's the thing I like about Helsinki, is it's a big city, but it's also still a small city, but it's big enough where it has distinct neighborhoods. And I think that gives it its own kind of character.
Yeah, definitely. All right, so last question to the whole story. How have you been dealing with the coronavirus situation now after army? So you wrote the book, now you've been working, I assume for the startup you work remotely, and Walt is on bike, But how has it been as like social, your social life?
So it's been pretty dead, kind of. Like I it's tough to meet people. It's tough to see people. So I've been kind of struggling on that front. But it has been good too, because I've been FaceTiming friends from home that I didn't really FaceTime in the Army, or getting in contact with some people who were actually in the Army with me, and we've been making plans to meet up. But the one thing that I used to go to all the time, that I'm a little bit bummed out, it was like a tradition of mine after like a nice long day of biking for Walt, is I would go down to Sompasauna, which if you're not familiar with Sompasauna, it is kind of like, it's like Finland's version of Burning Man and Christiana, like this kind of counterculture little dot on the end of an old coal island called Tomposari, juts to the south from Kalasatama. And it's this volunteer run, completely free, typically open 24/7 sauna right on like the Baltic. And after a long day of biking, there's nothing better than just going in the seawater and then just coming right back out and like getting like a good sauna in. And my legs, I don't even feel like I need to stretch afterwards. Like my legs feel like they just stretch themselves. It's a great feeling. But I will also say too, if I was going to catch COVID, that's the place where I would have caught COVID. Like there's no questions about it. Like there's people like naked, sweaty, it's the perfect storm. So I went to go swim in the sea a few days ago, and I looked and I saw, and they boarded up the doors right now. And I'd seen things online, they'd closed Sompasauna. So that's a little bit of a bummer, but I can totally understand why it's closed. And it seems a little insane that it would be open right now. But I still kind of miss it.
Hopefully soon. Is there anything else you would like to add that we forgot, and or you would like to, I don't know, mention?
You know, the one thing I wanted to mention that I did, I was looking at the earlier podcast, and you had the Canadian from the Finnish Army.
We had.
He was in my unit before. He was in the cohort before me. He was a medic.
Oh, really?
He was. Yeah. And he was, it was a crazy story too. It was like one of the first days I was there. I was like looking around. I was like really confused. And then I see somebody speaking English at the front desk. And I was like, huh?
Yeah.
And then I like went up and I tried to speak Finnish. And he was like, dude, I don't speak Finnish. And I was like, oh, wow. Like we started talking there. So that was kind of cool to see that you already had.
That's cool.
I didn't realize.
So you met Dalin.
Yeah, Dalin.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Okay, so this is the proof of that Finland is a small country.
It is a very small country. And it's also true, like when there's not a lot of military base, all the foreigners are in the same spot, too.
Yeah, well, nice. So we have a little connection here as well.
Absolutely.
I was thinking that, let's see how is it going to be that we have two episodes about Army. But it's a very different perspective as well, though.
He's a Canadian, I'm an American. It's a slightly different experience, isn't it?
Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
It's been so nice to have you on our
podcast. Really thankful for this opportunity, and I look forward to listening to it again.
It's been amazing, and thank you loads, and we wish you the best in publishing the book and working with the startup, and hopefully everything is going to work for you well, and also that you will be able to go to Sompasauna.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. Yeah, I look forward to watching this podcast grow and the expat community as well.
Yeah, thank you. All right, take care, everybody. Thank you for listening and have a nice day. Bye.
Take care. Bye.
Thank you for listening. You can subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Apple or Google Podcasts, and other podcast providers. For more information, follow our Instagram at mastering.finland.podcast, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and keep an eye on our website, masteringfinland.com. Have a nice day, and good luck with your own Mastering Finland story. Bye.